Is he running, or is he not? Or is he running, or is he not? It's the news, according to me. 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 Yeah, you see, if you repeat something enough times, people believe it. So now you can believe this is the news according to me. Boy, I've got three things I want to talk about just on my head right now, just off the top of my head. Just been kind of chewing on me all night long, like a mouse at the bottom of the bed. Not that I've ever experienced that, as far as you know. But Boy, just a few things that are... It's Tuesday, by the way. It's Tuesday morning, 7:29 a.m., July 26, 2022. I got a big day ahead of me here. It's going to be a long day. Not sure how early I'm going to be able to get up tomorrow morning. It could end up being a very easy day, or it could turn into a really long day. Just a long day. I have to travel to Atlanta. I have a bunch of stuff I have to get done before I leave. And I'm trying to figure out which flight I want to take at this point. I got to kind of decide here how I'm going to do this. I leave at noon. I got to get down there really early, and I can just kind of veg out and do some things and piddle around. And then there's the other option where I can stay around here, get more done around the house and, you know, other places. And I've got all that stuff I can do. I can leave later in the day. So I got to make a decision here. But then I get in there late. Potentially could end up in there like really late. If I have to make a connection flight, then I got like three choices this morning. I have to figure out which one I'll do here. All the flights are kind of full, so it's kind of tough to pick something. So I have to do that today. And I got to pay bills and all that stuff. Just life stuff. You know, gotta get that stuff done. I got to drink the rest of what's in my cup, which is, you know, again, it's just the chai. And I'm addicted apparently to Cinnabon Creamer. I've had that for the last week and a half, or week, a little over a week, I guess. I've had Cinnabon Creamer, and I just keep drinking that. Funny, I don't drink it on the weekends. Only for the doing the show. And I was going to have a backup cup here with me this morning, which is, I had some sweet tea from Chick-fil-A yesterday, last night. I made it over to the boat to do some work on the boat, because that's what you do with a boat. You work on it. It's part of my retirement plan. That way I have something to do after retirement. When I'm 80 years old, I'll retire and I'll have this boat to work on. Boat, you know, boats is B-O-A-T, right? So it's break out another 1,000. I spell my boat with two T's. I break out another 10,000. So with inflation, I got to put that in there. I might put three T's in there. I don't know what that's going to be. 10,000 turtles. I don't know what that's going to be. I got to come up with something better, I guess. So my sound booth. Yeah, by the way, I'll give you some update on that. It moved an inch. No, it's moved an inch closer to the house. It's now 3 feet from the door. It was 3 feet and 1 inch, and now I've moved it. I figure by sometime next year it should be in the door. Well, we'll see how that goes. I've got to clear out a bunch of stuff before I can. I've got to move some stuff over before I can get it through the door because it's so big. I don't have a direct path from the door through to the room here, and then I've got to get it around the corner, and I got some stuff where I'm putting it. There's a table. I have to move that table. Of course, there's stuff on the table. I got to move that. It's like a workbench type thing. So I got to move that workbench over to another part. Of course, where I want to put that is where there's an old bookcase that needs to come down. It's a domino. Everything around here is a domino effect. I see a project I want to work on. Well, I can work on that project, but then I got to do these other three things before I do that project. I have to start with this. You know, I have to feed the cat. And then once the cat is fed, then I can go out and I can move the stuff off this one shelf so I can put things on that shelf. Oh, but the stuff where I have to put that one shelf has to go into a tote. So I have to have a tote there on wheels. So I got to go to Walmart, get a tote, bring it back. Oh, I got to get gas while I'm out there. Because, you know, inflation. So I got to get that. Come back around. And then, of course, I get a call from somebody that they need something else. And then I answer my texts and look at my emails. And I got to do the show. And so then I do that. And I come back and then I forget what I was doing with the tote and the shelf. And I see something else that needs to be done. As I'm taking things off the shelf, I realize, I need to fix that. So I get sidetracked with that. I start fixing that. And I never get around to the thing that needed to be done, which is just mowing the lawn. But it's part of it is ADD, which is just a lack of discipline. We call it attention deficit disorder. Just self-discipline is a cruel thing. Some of you know, I've said this on the show before. I studied martial arts for many years when I was a kid, when I was growing up, and everybody talked about self-discipline. Self-discipline. This is good self-discipline. Well, it's funny how when you're not at class as a young person, you don't discipline yourself to do anything, really. I mean, you might go out, work out, do something. You might go, practice things. You don't work as intensely. You don't work as hard as you do when there was an instructor and other students there bringing up the level of intensity. Kind of like the difference between you working out in the gym and having a personal trainer who's there pushing you to do those last two reps that you would never have done. You would have stopped three or four reps before that. Oh, that's enough. Ugh, wow. And the personal trainers are yelling at you. You can do one more. Do it. Wait, I'm paying you to yell at me. I've never had a personal trainer, but I've seen them in action. I could be one. It'd be fun. I think it'd be fun to push people beyond what they think they can do, which I've done that before. Someone standing on the edge of a cliff. Oh, you can go further. Take the next step. You can do it. I could do that. That'll be $10. So I have a. Where was I here? Where am I? Where am I going? Who am I? Oh, Joe Biden. That's my Joe Biden impression. Boy, speaking of some things that are going on. So anyway, I've got this. This whole lack of discipline thing. It's going to go on this whole rant about discipline. So when I was younger, I made this at the age of 17. I'm pretty surprised that I had any brains at all back then. But I did have this one cogent thought. I realized that self-discipline is not what we think of it as sometimes. Self-discipline is what you're able to do and accomplish when you're by yourself, when you're on your own. Not when someone else is there telling you what to do or imposing or compelling you to do something. Now, in almost any situation, 99% of the situations we are in everyday life, we do not necessarily have to do what we're doing. My boss told me I had to do this. I hate having to do this. I don't want to do it because I have to do this. No, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. I quite often understand in my position the job I do for people. My side job is I have to remind myself, and I even tell them, I let them know occasionally, I'm not going to do this. If you have a problem with that, I'll just rent a car and go home right now, right this minute. I can just do that. Well, you can't do that. Yes, I can. You can fire me. I don't know what's going to happen to me after that, but that's the point. I don't care. I'm not doing this job because I have to. I'm doing this job because I want to. And as soon as I don't want to, I'm going home. So you need to make me want to. You need to keep the job doing what it's doing. It's work. I'm not saying it has to be enjoyable. I'm just saying there are certain things I will not do. I'll do whatever task is assigned to me, except for those that I don't want to do and that I don't want to do, that I didn't sign up for. just because it's hard isn't going to stop me. But it, if it's something I'm not doing, it's see you later. And they are, I think they are aware of that. So they treat me okay. But the, but you know, that having that, just having that mentality, I think is somewhat healthy sometimes. You almost have to have kind of this, and maybe that's where the country is right now. You know, what was the percentage of jobs that were told that they weren't essential all of a sudden during the whole thing that we went through there for two? I'm not going to mention what it is. That whole thing. Millions of people were told their jobs were not essential. Oh, and the vast majority of people, unfortunately, this is what's really sad, is most people define who they are by what they do, what their job is, what their occupation is. That's just a part of our societal culture. It's like it's just kind of in embedded into who we are as humans to some degree. And we really shouldn't find our identity there, but that is kind of what happens to us. First thing you do when you walk up to somebody and you meet them for the first time, what do? Well, I live in my mom's basement and I play video games. Oh, okay. That's good for you. That's not who you are. It's not necessarily something to be proud of, but it's not who you are. So I have we have this idea of discipline that is a little bit askew. Where was I going with that other statement? I'm rambling again this morning. The chai has not kicked in yet. Let's just put it that way. The brain is not functioning completely on all four cylinders because it only has two, I think. It's a two-cylinder. It thinks it's a four-cylinder. What I really need is a V8. I was going to have a backup cup this morning. I think I was mentioning that earlier. So I'm already on this cyclical. I digress. Let's move on. Let's move on to the topics for the day. I have, you know, this whole thing, this show intro, I don't know if you caught that. Is he running or is he running? And how will it affect? There's this big debate right now. Everything's a stir. Everything's a stir. And I have said this a million, if people actually think that Joe Biden's going to run again, what are you out of your mind? Are we really talking about this like it's an issue? He's not even 2 years into his presidency yet. We have 2.5 more years of this guy, and we're talking about whether or not he's going to run again or not. I don't think you understand the kind of decline we're talking about here. This guy's not going to improve, first of all. His policies aren't going to get any better. The country will probably have, to some degree, get used to this new norm of not having enough money and having inflation like this, like it is. At some point, the inflation rate will taper. We'll still have inflation, but it's going to taper off. It's going to go through, inflation cycles go through waves. And right now, we're in a little bit of a lull. And then it will come back. Stuff is like a train trying to stop. It's the caboose hits and then the train gets kind of contracts and expands a little bit. In the meantime, it just goes into a spiral thing where it just doesn't come out. It's not a steady progression. It has this up and down stuff. And others depends on all the supply chain issues. And then one industry collapses while, you know, then it sends things to another tippy tip. It's just, I've seen all this before. And it's they're the Democrats are all upset about the midterms, and they think that's Joe Biden's fault because he's so unpopular. There's this and I heard this on, I think it was Outnumbered, they were talking about this, but I actually had this in my head last night when I first heard the idea that the Democrats want Joe to retire or announce, they don't want him to retire, they want to announce that he's not going to run in 2024 because they think it'll help them in the midterms. Seriously, that's your plan. I don't know of anybody who's thinking that, well, if Joe's going to run again, I'm not going to vote Democrat. If Joe's not going to run again, I'll vote Democrat. If Joe's going to run again, then I'm going to vote for Republicans then. In the midterms. Midterm voters, by the way, are not your average just popularity voters. They are typically people, and typically Republicans do better in midterms. Normally, because it's the way it is. They tend to be a little bit more attuned to what's going on in politics. Democrats are motivated mostly by emotional stuff, and there's a radical wing that always votes, and they think the end justifies the means, and so they'll go out and vote several times. It's just because I've got to save the country. I've got to save our rights. I have to do this to save the country, all the while undermining the whole process. So they have, because, you know, we have to save the democracy by blowing up the election and making it illegitimate. And this, it's ridiculous. So we have these guys that are, they're out there, those pundits are out there thinking that, well, if Joe announces that he's not going to run in 2024, now here's what's going to happen. If he announces he's not going to run, well, then the question, the news cycle will be all a flitter with who is going to run. And we're going to be announcing, you know, is Kamala going to run? Who's going to run? Who's going to run in 2024? Is that the only thing that happens between elections is that there's another election? You know, there's a whole lot of policy in between there that has to be implemented. There's a whole lot of living life between those 4 years that the country has to go through. We don't care about the next election. You know what we do care about? Price of gas, price of eggs, price of milk, bread, tires. Apparently basketball shoes is a thing. Is it Nancy Mace? I don't know what her first name is. Macy? I don't know what her name is. She had this whole thing about a tank of gas cost me as much as a good pair of basketball shoes for my son. This was her big talking point. Now stop and think about that. How many kids are on the basketball team in high school? How many kids? 20? So, you know, in a school of 500, 600 kids, who's on the, you know, there's a B team, and there's a junior varsity, and then there's a varsity, or J, whatever it's called. I don't know what to call them anymore now. Those are probably racist names. I don't know what they call them. And how many moms does that affect? Not that many. I don't know. Just go to Payless. Get some shoes. It's just stop complaining about the shoes. Get some cheapies. Just put some duct tape around the kid's feet. It's not the shoes that make him better. I mean, they do make a difference, but it's just he's not going to be pro. Okay, he's just not. Yeah, I'm just. I'm down on everybody's kids. So that is, everybody thinks that they've got the same shoes as Michael Jordan, that they're going to be like Michael Jordan. Which is, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not bad to aspire to be greater, and it's not bad to try your, you know, who knows? Maybe you're going to be pro. Good luck for that. Maybe you'll be one. Good for you. You know, just look at the percentages, folks. You have to have some realistic view of this. I'm not being Eeyore here. I'm just saying. You better probably should have Plan B ready. Even if you are really good and you get a scholarship and all those other things, use that scholarship to get yourself a plan. Because you could have an injury. You could not make it. There could be a pandemic, and all of a sudden now your college career is wiped out. I have close relatives that have had that issue. So just, you know, have a plan B. Because the $1 million salary may not happen for you. Just saying. Good possibility. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a statistician. I'm not a virologist or a financial counselor. Not even a life coach. I can barely read. So the question now is if Joe Biden runs, and I'm not talking about what's happening in his pants. I'm talking about if he runs for president, if he announces that he's not going to run, what's going to happen is there's going to be a floodgate. All of a sudden, the war will go away. The pandemic will go away. The recession will go away. The price hikes will go away. Inflation, all that stuff's going to go away. And all that will matter on the local news. The only thing that won't go away is the J6 committee and Donald Trump's a monster. And if he announces that he's not going to run, all of these other candidates, well, it's going to be Pete Buttigieg. It's going to be Kamala Harris. It's going to be whoever else is out there, Klobuchar. Who knows? So all these people are going to say, I'm going to jump in. And then we'll see all the rhetoric and all the stuff flying, and everybody will be at each other's throats again. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Nobody's jumping on a quick bandwagon to endorse Biden. See, the left, the squad, the leftist radicals, the squad, as they call them, that bunch over there, the bunch that's really radically, like, Joe hasn't implemented enough policies to make them happy. And then you got the people who think he's just out of control more on the centrist side of things, that he's giving into the squad. They don't like the policy. And of course, nobody likes putting $5 a gallon gas in their car. I remember when gas was 20 cents a gallon. But, you know, a house was $12,000. A car you could buy for $1,500 to $2,000 brand new. Nice car. You could buy an airplane for $20,000. Brand new. Yeah. There was a point where my dad was making such good money in this one job he had. He was picking out his Cadillac. And he was looking at airplanes. He was going to buy one. Brand new one. I still remember he had all the brochures at home. Stuff he was looking at. And the company, less than a year into it, after he was there for a year and he had everything paid off, he was looking at all the stuff he was going to buy. And less than a year into this company, it collapsed. He got hired. He was making all this good money, working hard. He was traveling a lot. And then all of a sudden, bottom fell out of it. Never saw it coming. I just announced one day that he's done. Everything's done. They're closing. This is back in the 80s, or 70s, actually. Early 70s. So, yeah, there's Biden. Now, here's the other side of this. And this is where I kind of missed this, apparently, last Friday. I was kind of busy over the weekend. Because on Friday we had, what did we do on Friday? We had a meeting. I think we had a meeting on Friday. Oh, yeah, there was a meeting on Friday. I was trying to get my Fridays straight. This last Friday, I think, was my wife spoke at a meeting on Friday night. Or was that the week before? I think it was this last Friday. So there was that. And then on Saturday, we had a kind of a big day. We had to get the tires rotated, which never happened, by the way. I'm not sure I trust some of these people at some of these tire places. When did they get the tires rotated? And they said, well, your front tires are in the yellow area. Your back tires are in the green area. But it's an all-wheel drive vehicle, so you should keep the good tires on the back because that gives you your best traction control. So we recommend right now that you don't rotate your tires. I said, well, first of all, it's a front-wheel drive car. It's not an all-wheel drive car. I know it looks like one, as most of those models are, but it is a front-wheel drive car. So it's for, and by the way, most all-wheel drive cars are primarily driven by the left front wheel. And then secondly, the right front wheel. And then the back tires only kick in when the traction is bad. They're not always there. They're not always on all four wheels. That's just the way the transfer case works, typically on most transmissions. So the... First of all, the guy didn't know what he was talking about with cars. So let's go, okay. But I'll give him a break on that because it does look like one of those cars that's all-wheel drive. So, and all my other cars, I have all the same cars. They're all Volvo XC70s. They're all, that's all they are. I have three of them. All of them have over 100,000 miles on them. I've had at least two others prior to this. And, they all had over 300,000 miles before they crashed. And I also have a pickup truck, of course, because I have to have a pickup truck with big Trump flags on the back. I got not a big truck. It's just a Dakota, Dodge Dakota. Bought it brand new back in 03. Still have it. That's the one with the fewest miles on it, by the way. 20 years old and has the fewest miles on it. It's also got the most rust on it, but I digress. So this guy, so I go in to get these tires changed. Well, her tires were rotated. And so the guy kind of says, well, you know, we really recommend you should probably buy a brand new set of tires. Oh, okay. I came in just to get my free tire rotation, but I end up walking out the door spending $1,000. No, that's not going to happen. Well, there's a rebate right now. You can save $100. Oh, it says spending $1,100. I'm going to spend $1,000. Okay, well, I'll just do that. Oh, yeah, look at all the money I'm saving. Can't afford to buy breakfast now. I'm big on having good tires because the difference between the ride, the way it rides, and the way it handles, and I've seen it firsthand where we just got a brand new set of tires, Michelin's, whatever they were, which happened to turn out to be that particular batch of tires turned out to be really bad ones. But we had brand new tires on this one car we were driving. It was icy outside. It was black ice. Car comes up on the on-ramp beside us, right behind. We went past them as they were coming on. We kept on going. I look back, and I see this guy sliding everywhere. He is almost up against the side. I'm not sure. I don't think he hit the side of the guardrail type thing. But he was spinning back and forth and all over the place. And I was driving along as if there was nothing. We were rock solid. So I appreciate good tires. I know that they're good quality tires. It's important for any car. Which brings me to our word from our sponsor today. We have the Michelin Tire Company, apparently, is sponsoring me today. They're not paying me anything. They're getting this advertisement for free, I guess. I don't know. They're not really sponsoring me. They're just happen to come up in conversation. So I'm sure they'll send me a check for all the residuals, all the extra sales they're going to get from this. So I went to get these tires done. So finally the guy was like, and I disagree with the guy. I don't necessarily like the idea of having, now the tread is fine on both. It's such a minute difference between the green and the yellow. It's like the first stage of yellow on his little chart there. The only reason you do the tire rotation thing is for wear, to have equal wear on the tires. So a front-wheel drive car, well, typically the front wheels will wear a little bit more because they're doing the turning, they're doing all the grinding and grunting on the road here. So you rotate them so that the way they got your front tires now. So I'm going to go ahead and rotate the tires myself. I looked at it and I was like, you know what? Let's go back over. There's this little breakfast place right next to where we get the tires done. And usually we'll take the tires in there. I'll take the car over there. We'll drop them off in the morning. We go eat breakfast. As soon as they're done, they let us know. And we go back over and pick up the car and go and we leave. So my wife was already over at the breakfast place. So I was there. I'll just wait. We'll just leave it like the way it is. So he was trying to sell me some tires. I'm like, okay, what's the price? What's the price? Okay, got him. You know, made him do his job. Tried to sell me some tires. And I just walked out. I was like, well, we'll make a decision later today. How late are you open? Like, I had no intention of coming back. I just wanted to ask him more questions because he was just, you know, make him earn his money. Which was not, you know, nothing because I didn't pay anything because I walked out the door. So we ended up leaving. So right now it's got Bridgestones on it. That particular one, we bought that car with Bridgestones on it. And they're good tires, but I did nothing wrong with them. But we're going to change them over. So that way all the cars have the same kind of tires on them. Anyway. So I had, we ended up going, I don't know where I was going with this, but so now Joe, you know, everybody's saying that Joe's going to run. Or not going to run, that he shouldn't run. I don't know if he tells everybody this, you know, the one reporter who asked him, you know, what about you only have like 60% of their Democrat Party doesn't want him to run again. Now he's lost independents completely. The independents who decide the elections. That's kind of like, you know, Democrats vote Democrat, Republicans vote Republican. There's all these people they call independents out there, which the vast majority of whom are actually traditional Democrat. If you ask them on most issues, they'll call themselves independents. You start digging down into the weeds of what they actually believe. These people are Democrats, and I mean, I'm not even talking centrist, you know, Kennedy Democrats. I'm talking they're just the moderates of the Democrats. Is what they are. They're not the radical leftist wackos. They're like a step or two away from that. But I wouldn't say they're even in the middle ground. I've had plenty of conversations with these so-called independents. They don't like to admit that they're leftist radicals. Nobody likes to do that, but they are. Now, I don't know how I would be defined. I'm sure that I'd be defined as an alt-right radical alt-right guy. Just because I am a conservative. I'm a very staunch conservative. In terms of, I think government should be very small. I don't like government programs. I don't like government spending. I think the office of the president should have such little effect on my personal everyday life that it's insignificant who the person is. But that's not the way it is anymore. See, the Democrats want more and more intrusive government, bigger government, more intrusive government, and then when they get, all of a sudden, they get a leader they don't like, all of a sudden their brains melt because the effect that person can have on their life. When they get the government they don't want, the people in government they don't want, all of a sudden they're all upset. All of a sudden the government's illegitimate. It's not their democracy. We're hanging on the abyss. I wish I had some. I might do this if I end up getting into Atlanta early today. I might put together some clips of what Liz Cheney has said over the weekend at some of the weekend shows. Because she is absolutely insane in her brain. She is, this woman is, and I don't know if she's doing this, if what she thinks inside, I don't know what's going on in her head and how she's thinking these things. Does she actually think that she is being honest and being a statesperson? She's being stately in doing what she's doing and saying what she's saying, the kind of comments she's saying, and then her own comments condemn herself. some of the comments that she made Friday, Saturday, and Sunday over the weekend, and even on Fox. Of course, Bret Baier, who I have now lost all respect for with regard to political commentary. Not as a human being, but he absolutely is off the rails and off his rocker with regard to Trump. Now, it's everybody says, oh, Fox News is turning on Trump. No, not really. There is a civil war going on, if you want to call it, of words going on in the Fox News, not among the commentators, among some probably, but the news reporters who used to try to keep themselves kind of insulated from. They just wanted to report the news. They wanted to keep reporters different than what the commentators were. The commentators are obviously right wing. They make no bones about it. Most of them pro Trump. But you have these individuals who are not. And that's fine. It can be this discourse within the, I don't mind having some opposite folks there. That's fine. But when news reporters are people who are asking the questions and people who are trying to do their own little, trying to be objective, and yet they're obviously not. This is when it gets, I get really, it's like Brian Stelter. Oh, I'm objective. I'm fair. I'm very balanced. No, you're not. This is a person who's so either lying to you and knows it, or he's just so unself-aware that he has no self-awareness whatsoever to understand how ridiculously in the tank he is for the Democrat Party. He's just full of himself. Anyway, so there's this thing. Liz Cheney was just going on about, and she actually made some remarks about whether or not she's looking at 2024 or not. When she was asked about Joe Biden potentially being manipulated and bought by China, the ramifications of that and how she felt about it, she basically came out and said, oh, I've just been reading a few newspapers. I haven't been really paying attention to what's going on with that. But when it came time to talk about anything else, she was very quick to jump on the GOP and why the GOP is, we're standing at the edge of an abyss. At one point, she said, we're standing at the edge of an abyss. Explain what you mean by that. Nobody questions her about that. You make a statement like that. What are you talking about, Liz? Are you saying that because of the current administration, we're standing in the abyss? Are you saying that because we almost lost our democracy on January 6th and Donald Trump sent an armed mob down to kill Mike Pence? That's her narrative. She has said it so many times. She's repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. Donald Trump knew there was an armed mob and he sent them down from the ellipse, sent them down to attack the Capitol. He sent an armed mob down there to kill Mike Pence. They're trying to make Mike Pence out to be the hero in this. Well, the actions that Mike Pence took and the actions that Donald Trump took were totally different. First of all, let's just lay out some straight basic facts here. She was asked the question of, well, you know, Bret Baier asked her, you know, Donald Trump offered to supply up to 20,000 troops, National Guard troops, on January 4th. This was in a conversation on January 4th that he had. Have you heard anything about that, or do you know if that was true? Donald Trump didn't order any troops there. He didn't place any order. Nobody got any calls. No, he didn't. He didn't order any troops there. He asked if they wanted. Donald Trump is not responsible or in charge of the security of the Capitol building. First of all, it's not his branch of government. He can order National Guard troops, but he's not going to do it if you don't want them. He offered to do it, and they said no. They didn't want it. She wouldn't say whether or not that conversation was real or not. She kind of alludes to it, but then she goes on to, she shifts right into the, he never ordered any troops. It's the most snake-like, slithering, sleazy, kind of greasy statement. Answer to a statement. The way she did it was just, it's absolutely pathetic. Then we get this guy up there. Now, suppose this is even a better witness. Why is it that the witnesses, like these four Capitol Police officers that they get, there's only four of them. How many Capitol Police officers are there? It's like 10. These four represent the whole bunch. Well, there's got to be thousands of them, and or at least hundreds, I would think. And you got these four guys that are there every day right now. They're there for every time. Every time there's a meeting, they're there, and they're sitting next to, you know, movie stars and stuff. Because, you know, that way the cameras will be turned on them. Oh, look at this. Sean Penn is sitting next to this Capitol Police officer. They're talking to each other, eating popcorn and watching a show. Sean Penn's probably got this deal where he's gonna play a part in a movie. This typically happens. You watch, Sean Penn will have a movie, or he'll be directing a movie about what happened on January 6th, because it was, you know, it's the closest thing to Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Worse than those two things. It's the worst attack we've ever had on our country. First of all, if this armed mob that was sent down to attack the Capitol, which, by the way, apparently, even before he got done with his speech, they were already down there attacking it. So he must have done a really good job with that speech, because they were already there. You know, it's like a mile and a half, 2 miles away from where he spoke. And they get this, now they get this police officer, not a Secret Service man, a police officer that was in the lead car, wasn't in the car with Trump. He was in the lead car up ahead. He heard that there was a heated argument about whether or not they were going to go to the Capitol or not. Again, hearsay. Oh, I heard that there was a heated argument about whether or not they're going to go to the Capitol. I think part of the problem is Donald Trump, in his speech, he told everybody that he was going to go down there. He's going, I'll go down there with you. I think he felt bad that he told him he was going to be there. And then if I'd have made a speech where I said, I'm going to be there with you. We're going to go down to the Capitol. It was in his speech. And then he turns around and doesn't show up down there. But they were already there. They were already, the violent ones, if you want to call them that, that attacked the Capitol building with guns. Oh, wait, no, there were no guns. With flagpoles. Joe Biden made a comment on Friday. What happened to my, there it is. Let's see if I can find this. Joe Biden. How do you spell carnage? We'll figure it out. Yeah, Biden appeal. Here we go. No, that's 17 minutes long. It must be some kind of commentary. That was 2 months ago. He's always talking about, he uses carnage a lot. This is all a month ago. This was a speech on Friday. Let's see if I can find it. It's remarks on safeguarding acts. There's a president Biden free speech on 4 months ago. 4 months ago. 5 days ago. Fighting climate change. Yeah, I don't see it on here. It's all. 10 days ago. This was just a couple days ago. So Biden now has he's been double boosted and double vaxxed and all this stuff. He's had four shots. And he has COVID. There's some concerns with this whole COVID thing. I'm going to go down this road because I wasn't planning on it, but I'm going to go down this, not that I plan on anything, but he was going to, you know, he's after he announced that, yes, I tested positive for COVID. Well, there's a new study now that has come out peer-reviewed, and I think that they were reluctantly putting this thing out because they didn't want anybody to know this. Apparently, you are 70% more likely. This should be front page news everywhere, and it's going nowhere. You are 70% more likely to get COVID now with this new strain, the BA5. 70% more likely to get it if you've been vaccinated, especially if you are over the age of 60. 70% more likely to get it if you're vaccinated than if you're unvaccinated. Dr. Birx now has come out and said, we knew this was, we never expected this to, or we knew this would never, this wasn't going to stop people from being infected. We knew it was only going to help mitigate the severity of the disease. If you came out and said that on social media, you were banned for life. And now all of a sudden the experts are telling us, well, that's not the case. We always knew this was the case. And they came out and emphatically told, because they were afraid that if people knew that they wouldn't take it. What else are you not telling us because you're afraid we're not going to take it? Because now we're giving it to little kids, babies, 6 months old. Still giving them a vaccine that has been proven to be almost totally ineffective. At best, when you first get the vaccine, within a few days, you're like 30% chance that it's going to help you. Whatever that means, we don't even know what that means now. Does that just mean 30% chance it's going to, if you get the disease, you get the virus, you're going to be able to fight it off? Does it mean that you're not going to get the virus if you have a 30% chance you're not going to get the virus? Because there's a 70% chance you will. I don't know. It's the whole thing was a scam, folks. Let me just put it that way. It may have saved some lives initially, but this thing is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how it's all going to play out. All I know is, a lot of the documents that are coming out now with some of the studies that were happening, they dropped people out of the studies when they had adverse effects. Did you realize that? Roman Balmakov read through some of the Pfizer documents that are being released now, and they've sifted through all this stuff. They are good at this stuff. They got people to do this stuff for them, obviously, but they sifted through all this information. There were hundreds of people dropped out of the study because of the adverse effects. What they did is they gave the vaccine to like 1,000 people. 300 people had adverse effects, so they just dropped them out. This one lady had a pregnancy that was terminated. She had a miscarriage. The report in the study, in the paperwork, said it was determined the vaccine did not cause her pregnancy. It did not cause her pregnancy. Didn't say it caused her, didn't cause her miscarriage. Well, duh, it didn't cause her pregnancy. It's not the Virgin Mary vaccine. So Joe gets up. One of the things he said at this crazy speech on Friday. I gotta find this. Friday, Biden speech. Biden speech, J6. Let's see what he says here. It's 1 month ago. Everything's a month ago, 6 months. They're not posting this, folks. This should be easy to find. Everything is a month ago. This was last Friday that he made these statements. There is no way. Let's see if I go to, let's try this. We'll go to just a regular DuckDuckGo search. Friday, Biden, J6 comments. Let's see what it says here. This is all stuff from 715, 720, or 2021, 700. There's nothing. What is this? January 6, 2020. No, this, no. No, this is all, it all has stuff to do with Trump here. J6 committee seems to be epic fail. New subpoenas have been issued. January 6 announces this is 4 days ago. More subpoenas. That's the only reason. The only reason they can get people in jail is just by not answering a subpoena. That's how they're getting them. But I digress. The other two things I want to talk about now. Trump is talking about. He's making some huge innuendo about running again in 2024 and when he's going to announce. He made such an innuendo the other day that the news media on the left is all now they're saying he's going to announce. And they think it could happen today. They're saying it's going to happen today. Of course, everything else they've said about Donald Trump is wrong anyway. But he's definitely teasing the media and teasing these kind of comments. Now, there's the... establishment, right-wing establishment, Republican establishment is flipping out about this stuff right now. The Democrats think that if Donald Trump announces he's going to run before November, that it's going to help them in the election. No. It will not help them in the election. First of all, if Mike Pence isn't even registered, Mike Pence is going to show up on the ballot. Okay, the straw poll that was recently taken. Now, this is obviously you can't always trust straw polls because you don't know who the demographics were, the people who were there. But Trump was overwhelmingly the winner there. DeSantis came in second. I think Trump was like 70-some percent, 79%, something like that. DeSantis was like 17 or 20%. And you had a few others that didn't even register, basically. They weren't even on there. Pence didn't even show up. I mean, Pence wasn't even on the mark anywhere. If Pence thinks that he's going to come out and be the hero in all this stuff, and he's going to have the media on his side, and everybody's going to... I think there's some of the right-wing media, I think, Fox, some of the commentators there, are going to push Pence as the candidate. I think that's a big mistake. It's huge. It's a huge mistake. Now, as a person, Pence, okay, whatever. No, he's not a bad person. I think he's a little bit too polished of a politician. I think he's a little bit of a snake behind the scenes. Not as much as Liz Cheney is. But I do believe he's somewhat of a compromising individual when it comes to certain things. In the world of politics. We had him as a governor here for a while. He has some strong moral pinnings and he will stand up for some things. I'm not so sure about some things about the guy. There's something about him that makes me uncomfortable. There's some things about Trump that make me uncomfortable too, but that's at least you see what you see is what you get with Trump. The effect that some of these Republicans think that if Trump just announces he's going, there's two angles to this. One is that they think that he's going to announce that he's going to run, so it makes it look like anything the J6 committee does to him is a political hack job. Well, now it looks like politics. hello, it looks like politics now. The statements that are being made, everything that's being said, it is obvious. And what difference does that make? And of course, Donald Trump doesn't care about that. It doesn't matter whether it's He knows the left is all about the politics. It's all about them getting power back. It's all they care about. The right-wing establishment is all worried about it because now, so there's all this talk about, well, if he announces before the election and all these Republicans win, they sweep the House, that means it's support for Donald Trump. If if the Republicans don't win as much or they lose, then it's showing that everybody disapproves of Donald Trump. No, it's not. No, it doesn't work that way. Now, these pundits, it amazes me how out of touch and inept they are when it comes to analyzing some of this. I don't know, maybe it's just experience in life that they need. Most of these guys are younger than me. But you would think with them being steeped in politics all day long, maybe that's the problem. Maybe they need to get out of the beltway a little bit and live in, you know, middle America for a while. And go live in the flyover states for a while. And figure some of this stuff out. Whether Donald Trump announces now or after the election will not make a difference in this election, in my opinion. Maybe one seat in the House. Newt Gingrich says they're going to take 70 seats in the House. I'd be surprised if it's not more, frankly. However, if you do the math, you have to look at all of it. He knows the numbers better than I do. He knows what can. Now, of course, Nancy Pelosi famously made the comment about AOC, and it was a slam on AOC, and I don't think AOC would be smart enough to know it. After AOC won the election, when she won the first time, her little House representative seat there, she's going to be there for 40 years. She's going to be a lifer there, if we don't do something about term limits. She'll be the next Nancy. She'll probably be Speaker of the House someday, or she's going to run for president. Can you imagine that? I think she should run for president. That would be the most hilarious show in the world. But the worst of this is, can you imagine her talking to Putin? Can you imagine her talking to somebody on world stage? So we have this crazy idea that if he announces he's running before. Well, by the way, when she ran the first one, when she won the first time, first got into politics there, Nancy Pelosi came out and made this statement. She said, this cup of water, if it had a D behind its name, would win an election in her district. I'd rather be called a taco. At least there's some meat and substance there. A glass full of water is, you know, while you need it to live, it's just water. She compared her to a cup of water. So there are districts like that. Now, there have been some shocking events in recent months, in some of the runoff elections and some of the other things that have happened, where Republicans have stepped in and won in offices that have been held for decades by Democrats. So we'll see what happens here. I think those are kind of litmus tests to some degree. Kind of the old canary in the coal mine thing. As long as the economy sucks, which it does, and it's not going to turn around in the next couple months. Now, what you're seeing on all the scattering that's going on right now, imagine how this is going to get by the time we get to September and October. They are ramped up. And like I've said before, it is hard to tell what the Democrats are willing to do. But they see their problems as Joe being announcing whether he's going to run or not in 2024. No, that's not your problem. You don't understand. Because we still have another 2 years of life to live, 2.5 years yet, before we even get to 2024. If you even think he's going to make it that long, he's... One of the biggest concerns about this whole COVID thing with Biden is that they have to take him off. They can't give him this treatment that he's taken for whatever it is. It's some kind of a treatment that they're giving him. Of course, they didn't give us any treatment other than, you know, you're vaccinated. But he's getting some kind of treatment. And apparently that treatment is taking him off of some of his other medications. Now, he's had a couple of strokes. He's had a couple of, what are they, aneurysms? I guess it's a type of stroke. he's had some weird stuff happen there with his brain in the past. And so he's on medication to keep his blood thin, just the right amount or whatever. And he's also on that other medication for his memory and all this other stuff and for Alzheimer's and all, who knows what else he's on. They won't let us know that stuff. Apparently they have to reduce some of his other medications or take him off some of it, I guess, because of concerns for his blood stuff. But so there's interactions that happen with this medication and they're concerned about that. And this is weird. This could end up being more serious, and maybe it won't be, but it could be, bad. You never know what kind of they're experimenting here, folks. That's what bothers me. And what really bothers me is if this guy's gone, who steps in? That's because the one that's waiting in the wings right now, So there you go, folks. That's the day. It is Tuesday, not quite the hump day yet. Tomorrow will be halfway through. Not for me. I'll be down in Atlanta for a few days till the weekend. So be going that route. And then, I hope to be, I got a couple days off and then I got to travel again for a couple days. And then I get, couple days off. Then I got to travel again. I got a couple days off. Then I got to travel again. A couple days off. I don't know how it's going to work out. It'll be crazy. Crazy, crazy month again. Once again. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. A few things in life that might be interrupted in between there because of some things that are going on. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll keep you informed because, that's the way I am. You need to know all my stuff, all my business, my personal business. God bless everybody. And have a great weekend. Have a great week, I guess. Have a great rest of your week. Take care.